Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tes, and we are 17 lines from the bottom of Daf Ches Amid Beis, the two dots, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Eliezer Yeshaya Ben Bracha. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Reb Tzvi Betzalel Ben Ramosha Aaron. That's my Zeda, whose yard site is today. May today's learning and all the learning of the Chabura be a schus and an aliyah for his nesham. So we're moving along in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, dealing with halachos related to Shechita. The very first part of the Masechta, the first week, dealt with mi are allowed a shecht. Hakol shoichten, lasu yemai. We digressed a little bit to talk about sugyas of mummer, sugyas of kuti. But in yesterday's daf, we turned the page already, literally, as we do every day, and began to focus on some of the halachos related to shechita. This is the manual, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the basic rules and regulations that govern how exactly a shoichet went about his umnes, his profession. Today's daf is very much going to be a continuation of that theme. Zok de Heilige Gemara, Rabbi Yudah, my Rabbi Yudah said in the name of his great Rebbe Rav, Hatabuch, a butcher slash shoichet, tzorich shloisha sakinim, has to have three knives. Acha she shoichet ba, one sakin that he uses to shech the animal, v'acha she mechatech ba basar, the other one that he uses to carve the meat, v'acha she mechatech ba chalavim, and the third one that he uses to cut and carve and remove the fats of the animal. So a few things. Number one, we know even a kosher animal that has a proper shechita has certain parts of the animal that one is not allowed to eat, known as the chalavim. Said Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, that if you're a butcher, that after you shecht, you also carve up meat, you have to have a toolkit that's going to have at the very least three sakinim. One that's used exclusively for the shechita, the other one that's used exclusively to carve the kosher meat, and the third one that's used exclusively to carve the chalavim. Why do you have to have three? Now, that's poshet, that the one that was used for the shechita was not allowed to be used to cut meat. Not the kosher meat and not the chalavim, which is the non-kosher meat. And the reason is because the knife of the shoichet had to be perfectly sharp. That's why, as we're going to see in the course of today's daf, there's a halacha that before a shoichet shechts, he has to do a bedika. You have to make sure it's 100% pristine. The reason is because if there's even a tiny bit of a nick, it may cause that the shechita won't be a perfect shechita, you'll violate the five halachos l'moshe misinai, and as a result, there's going to be an issue. So that goes without saying, that the sakin that the shoichet is going to use to do the shechita cannot be used for the basar. Why then do you have to make sure that within the world of basar, we're mechalik between the basar and the chalavim? The reason is because you would assume that, what do you mean? One is kosher, the other is non-kosher. How could you use the same knife to cut kosher meat that you're using for non-kosher meat? That's pretty intuitive. But the Gemara says not so pasha. Why? Because for liskin lei, why can't we just tell the butcher that he should have chada, one for the basar, not chada as in one, because he has to have one for the shechita, but one for the basar, for lichtich ba basar, and tell him that every single time he uses the knife, first you should go and cut the kosher meat, v'hada lichtich ba chalavim, and then afterwards cut the chalavim. And as long as he's going to do it in that order, this shouldn't be an issue, because if you would use the knife to cut the chalavim first and then to cut the basar, so then you're going to have blias of chalavim that's going to be inside the basar. But if you're going to do it in the reverse order, you could have blias of basar inside the chalavim. That shouldn't be a problem. But the Gemara says the reason Rav Yudah Marab wasn't happy with that was gzeir Hashem yachta chalavim v'achakach basar. He was concerned that you may end up doing it in the reverse order. Therefore, he said, just have a separate set of dishes. Like this, there won't be an issue. Freit the Gemara, hashtanami michlef klei. If you're worried about that, I'm not really sure how this resolves the issue. So you're going to have two knives. So the person might confused, and he's going to use this knife for that, and that knife for this. The Gemara says, no. Kiven datzrichin utrei islei hekera. A hecker is always very helpful when it comes to situations where somebody might get confused. If there are two knives, that in and of itself is the hecker, and that's going to be a reminder, oops, I have to make sure that I'm using the right knife for the basar and the right knife for the chelev. That's why it's going to work. So enachinami, from a practical standpoint, there is a way for the butcher to go about his day using one knife that's going to be used for the basar and for the chalavim, or be it if he does it first for the basar and then the chalavim, but what if he does it in the reverse order? And he has no hecker, all he has is a knife. If you tell him to use two knives, then he has a hecker, he's going to remember, and he's going to know what to use for what. By the way, not surprisingly, this gemara right here is the makar that in a Yiddish house, you have two sets of dishes, two sets of silverware and flatware. Even though from a pure halachic perspective, it's not something that you would necessarily have to have. Plan B would be to know Yeridaya and to do a lot of Hagala and Toiveling, but there would technically be a way to circumvent it. But you see in the Gemara that the butcher even, who was an umman, he's a professional. Even by him, we were concerned, kal v'chomer, when it comes to the rest of us. And this Gemara right here is the source. That just like the butcher had to have one sakin that he used to cut the basar, one that he used to cut the chalavim, so too every Yiddish shtib has to have one for, it's all kosher, but one for the basar and one for the chalav. I'm Rabbi the Rabbi. We descend the name of Rav. Another halacha, very similar. Hatabach tzarach shnei kelim shalmayim. The butcher had to have two kelim with water. Echad shemadiach by basar, echad shemadiach by chalavim. One that he used to wash the basar, and the other one that he used to wash the chalavim. So the tabach, after he shechts the animal, so the animal is quite messy, the innards, so he would wash the insides. You can't use the same bucket of water to wash the basar and to wash the chalavim. Therefore, it's sarach shnei kelim shalmayim. Echad shemadiach by basar, echad shemadiach by chalavim. I don't understand what the issue is. Oh, because you can have a taruvis between basar and chalav, you can use one venadiach by basar, venadiach by chalavim. Just know that first use the basar, and then afterwards, use the chalavim. If you do it in that order, it should be fine. So the Gemara says, you're right. There's a gzeru. You may do it the opposite. And as a result, this is what Chazal were worried about. If you're worried that the butcher is not thinking clearly and he's not 100% locked in to what it is he's doing, and he may, instead of doing basar chalavim, do chalavim and basar, so why is it going to help to have two kelim? Sakti Gemara, kiven that's rechinu tshurtarti, being that you told him he has to have two kelim, isle hekeira, that's going to be a hecker, and as long as he has a hecker, that's going to be a reminder. He's going to remember he has to do it the right way. So really, these two halachas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav are kamat the same halacha. Very much me'inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan. The tabach has to have three sakinim, and he has to have shnei kelim shalmayim. Now, why is it that by the sakin you have to have three, by the kelim you only have to have two? That's obvious. The sakin, the third sakin, is for the shechita. The time you're ready to wash the innards of the animal, you're not doing shechita anymore. At this point, you don't need one for the actual shechita, but the shitasai of Rav Yehuda Amarav is that you need a sakin for the basar and a sakin for the chalev, and we can't falazich on, don't worry, I'll use it first for the sakin, for the basar, and then afterwards for the chalav. Gzeira, we're afraid you may go ahead and be machlev. That's l'shitasin. When it comes to the two kalim that the tabach is using to wash the basar and the chalav, you have to have one for the basar, one for the chalav, and we're not going to rely on the fact that, no, I'll have one, but I'll make sure I always use it first for the basar and only afterwards for the chalav. Again, for the same reason, because we're concerned you may go ahead and you may be machlev. Amar amemar Rapapa. Another very basic halacha that governs how the sheikh goes about his business. So a butcher who has all his flesh, he's taking out the innards of the animal. So if he puts the basar, the kosher meat down, he shouldn't take chalev afterwards and put it on top of it. The reason is, the da'iv tarba, because the chalev is going to start disintegrating a little bit, and some of the chalev is going to end up entering the basar, u'bala bisra, and you're going to have blias inside the basar. And as a result, this is an issue. So I may send the name Rapapa, that when the butcher takes the basar and he takes the chalav and he's putting it all down, you just have to make sure that you don't take the chalav and smack it right on top of the basar, because in that situation you may end up with blias of chalav inside the basar. But the Gemara asks, Ihachi, oy bazoi, if this is something that you're worried about, then ki teritzi nami da'iv tarba u'bala bisra. Why are you worried that even if you have one piece, just one piece of meat. If there's basar on the bottom and there's chilav on top, you're going to put that basar at some point, whatever's on top, attached to what's on bottom. This is not two pieces. But what's the difference? It's going to start disintegrating a little bit, and the basar that's underneath it is going to be baleya. So I don't understand. If you're worried about doiv tarbu bala bisra, so that should therefore require the butcher to do more than just be sensitive to the fact that if I have a shtik basar and I have a shtik chelov, don't put the chelov on top of the basar. You should have to now carve up the animal in a way where you're going to immediately separate all the basar and all the chelov, because if you're going to have basar and chelov attached to each other and the chelov is going to be on top, you're going to end up with the same exact issue. And Amemer never said that, so it doesn't sound like that was his concern. He was only worried about taking two pieces of meat and putting one on top of the other, but the Gemara says that was never an issue. You know why? Because karma mafsik mitat. Because if you're familiar with the anatomy and the physiology of the inside of an animal, which, by the way, no jokes, Bezer Hashem, in a few weeks, we're going to have to become familiar with it. But at least for now, there's a membrane, there's a karma that separates the chelev and the basar from within, and that serves as a shomer, it's a hefsek, and that's not going to allow the tarba to penetrate and to go into the basar. Now Rashi says the karma itself is going to be a problem. So you're going to have to discard the karma. The karma is going to be baleya the chelov. But as it relates to the basar that's underneath it, that's not something you have to worry about. But the Gemara says, ihachi, oy bazoi, if you want to go down the karma road, well, me'iloi nami karma iko. The chelev has this membrane on all sides of it, even the top part of it. So if you're going to go ahead and you're going to have a piece of chelev and a piece of basar, you're not allowed to put the chelev on top of the basar. Why? Because it's going to be doiv tarba. If the karma is a protection, you're going to have the karma now on this cut piece of chelev as well. Meaning just like the part where the chelev meets the basar, mitatoi, from underneath it, right? Picture the chelov on top of the basar. So there's a karma that separates the two. There's also a karma that's on top of the chelov, which means that if you go ahead and you cut it and now you're going to put the chelov on top, the mamon of shachta is going to be a karma. And if that's the case, and the karma protects, so why is this an issue b'chlal? So the Gemara says, no, that karma is different because aydi dememashmesha yodet tabacha niftas. Being that at the point that the chelov was separated from the basar, the tabach, the butcher already was playing with it a little bit. So at that point, he may puncture a hole. He is going to somehow diminish the ability that this karma had to protect. At that point, we're concerned. So when the karma is attached from inavenik to the basar, no one ever laid a hand on it. No one ever laid a finger on it. So in that situation, we believe that it's going to serve as a good protection. Get rid of the karma, but the basar underneath it, at the very least, was never baleya anything from the chelov. However, the karma that's me'iloi, that already the butcher touched, and it's for that reason, it's not going to protect. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Talmud Chacham, Sarech Sheyumay Gimul Dvarim. A Talmud Chacham has to learn the following three things. Ksav, Shchita, Umila. So what does this mean? Dr. Ashi, Ksav, Lichtoiv. He has to know how to write. Sheyeda Lachtoim Shmoy, Ilu Yeshev Bedin Oyleidos. What it means is he has to know how to sign his name. So Talmud Chacham Tzorich has to know how to sign his name. Now it's interesting. Talmud Chacham Tzorich Sheyul Moiksav, you would think he knows how to write. If he's a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't know how to write. So we take for granted that today, for the most part, people know how to read and write, or at the very least, text, right? But people know how to read or write. But once upon a time, it wasn't necessarily the case. And therefore, we needed Rav Yehuda Amar Rav to say that a Talmud Chacham has to know how to write. And by the way, even when we say that the Talmud Chacham has to know how to write, it's not like he has to know how to write tshuvas. He has to poshut know how to write his name, how to sign his name. Last machzor we spoke at a dover nifla from the Chasam Sofer al Hashas right here in Chulin Daf Tes Ayin Shom. But that's the first thing he has to know. The second thing he has to know is shchita. Now here too Rashi says that's poshet. He is going to know hilchas shchita, right? He's a Talmud Chacham. That's not a chiddush. He has to know hereshach. So he has to be an umen. He has to actually know how to do the shchita umila. And finally, he has to know how to do bris milas of Chananya ben Shlamya Mishmei Rav Amar. So this Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Rav Chananya ben Shlamya, he said the name of Rav. Then in addition to these three things, he also has to know how to make the kesher shel tefillin. Ubirchas chasanim. He also has to know how to be a masada kedushim. Vitzitzes, and he has to know how to make tzitzis. Says the Gemara v'idach, Rav Yehuda and Rav didn't mention those latter three things. Why not? Says the Gemara, hani shchichen, because those three things are shchichen. What does this mean? So Rashi says, tefillin v'tzitzis u'birchas chasanim, mitzuyin tater. These are things that are, right, people are always being bar mitzvah and as a result needing tefillin. You didn't wear tzitzis every day. And Baruch Hashem, there's always chasinus. There's always birchas chasanim. These are things that are mitzuyin tader. Hilka ha-koil b'kiyim b'hem. Everybody knows these things. They ain't tzrichen limut. Shemei atzma yiyah b'kiyim b'hem. You need a ha-hayra of Rav Yudam Arav that you should know how to do these things. There's so much with these things, you don't need it. As opposed to the first three things. Ksav, shchita u'mila. That's not matzoy and shchiach on the same level. And when it comes to those three things, they're ready. We need to be told that Talmud Chacham Tzorach Sheyilmoit, he has to know. He has to know how to do these things. Tosfos and all the Rishonim much very much with Rashi. Because if you're going to tell me that the Kesher Shel Tefillin and the Birchas Chasanim and the Tzitzis, everyone knows because it's matzoy, what, ksav, shchita, mila, less matzoy. You want to tell me ksav, maybe. Shchita is definitely matzoy. And mila, why is mila less matzoy than Kesher Shel Tefillin and Tzitzis, right? Any single person that right now is buying Tzitzis or Tefillin at one point had bris mila. So l'chura, it's just as matzoy. But the bottom line is, this is a kasha that the Rishonim ask on Rashi, and because it is, the Rishonim say different shatim. Either way, v'am Rav Yudam Shmuel, Rav Yudah said now in the name of Shmuel, so he had Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Yehuda Amarav. Now we have Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol tabach she'ini yedei hilcha shchita. Any tabach that doesn't know hilcha shchita, asa lechem shchita asa. You now let eat v'me shchita. So if there's a tabach that doesn't know hilcha shchita, asa lechem shchita asa. Okay, ve'elu hein hilcha shchita. What is hilcha shchita? So hopefully this is not going to come as news to anybody. Shehiya, Durasa, Chalada, Hagrama v'ikur, the five halachas l'moishim Sinai that govern hilcha shchita. Now in addition to this, there's also other halachas, right? You need shchita shrovs. Basi manim, and there's a homosachta schulim that deals with hilcha shchita. But the rabbi is these five things. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the name of Shul, that if the tabach doesn't know these five things klar, asr lechom mishchitasi. Feit the Gemara, Maikum Ashmol, what was Shmuel's chiddush? Kulu taninu, these are all mishnayis, meaning every one of these five halachas l'moshim yisinai are mentioned in a mishnah. And the mishnah basically says that if the tabach would shecht and he wouldn't follow these five rules, then the shchita would be a shchita psula. So obviously, if he doesn't know these five halachas, asa lechom mishchitasi. In the words of Rashi, what is Shmuel the Amora being mechadish that the Mishnah already didn't state very, very clearly? So the Gemara says, Leitzricha. I'll tell you what Shmuel was being mechadish. Shoch lefnei nebeis v'gimel pama. What would be if there's a shoychet that shechted two or three times, the shochat shaper, and he shechted good. But at the same time, as far as we know, he's not yoideya hilcha shchita. He's what the Gemara, specifically Ravina, described in the beginning of the Masechta. He's a muchsik, aber ve'enoy mumcha. Ma udeteyme, ich volt gewolt mein. Ne, de idach shochat shaper, being that in the past, we've watched him, Beis v'gimel pamim, and we saw he shechted amazingly. Sa'ainami shochat shaper. So this person, he probably always shechts good. So in the event that he shechts, and now he's giving you a piece of meat, even though as far as we know, could be he's an enoy deya hilcha shchita, but he's a professional shochet. So maybe it would be okay, and maybe that's not in violation of the Mishnah, because for care, we're going to assume that he probably knows the five halachas, or at the very least, just knows how to get it right, and it's for that reason it's going to be good. That kivan d'loy gomer, if he doesn't know the sugya, and he can't rattle off right now, and tell you what they are, if he doesn't have the ability to do that, well then we have to be worried that zilma d'shoy v'daris v'layata. It could be, maybe it's possible that this time when he shechted, he didn't get it perfectly right. And maybe he was shy, or he was daris, or the Rishonim saying one of the other three issues. But the bottom line is, could be he didn't do it perfectly. Unaware, he's giving it to you to eat. It's for that reason we have to be sensitive. In other words, if you see a shechet, he always gets it right. That doesn't necessarily mean you can eat from his shechita. You know why? Because what if one time he punk doesn't get it right? Now, if he knows the halachas, so when he punk doesn't get it right, he's going to discard it. Like Kelev Tashlichon Oysoi, right? He's going to know what you're supposed to do with this. If, however, he doesn't know the halachas, he punked always gets it right. He's a bar mazel, or he's just a good omen. He knows how to imitate. He knows how to follow his mentor. But then, if punked he doesn't, If he's not sensitive to the halacha, he's not going to know to discard it. It's very possible. If somebody eats from his flesh, he's going to be eating nevela, he's going to be eating treifa. Could be a big issue, and it's for that reason Shmuel, the Amora, needed to be mechadish. That a tabach, that this butcher, she'eni yodeya hilcha shchita, also lechol mishchita. Rav Yehuda said another halacha in the name of Shmuel. By the way, the history is, Rav Yehuda we know was a Talmud Muvik of Rav, and he was a Talmud Muvik of Shmuel. As a matter of fact, Rav we know was much older than Shmuel. Rav passed away before Shmuel did. When Rav was alive, Rav Yehuda learned by Rav, and then when Rav passed away, Rav Yehuda left the yeshiva of Rav, and he went to learn by Shmuel. And that's why throughout Shas, you have Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And essentially, if you're following the paper trail of the first part of today's daf, Rav Yehuda is saying over halachas and hilchas shechita that he heard from his Rebbe Rav, which is where he learned first, and now he's moving over. He says, let me tell you some other halachas that I heard in hilchas shechita from my other great Rebbe, from my Rebbe Shmuel. But either way, what's the next halacha? Hatabach tzorach sheyivdak b'simonim lachas shechita. A butcher, after he does the shechita, he has to be boidik the simonim. He has to look at the simonim, he has to make sure that he severed roiv of the simonim, he has to make sure there was no nick, right? He has to do a post shechita bedika to make sure that he did everything right. Says the Gemara, I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Afananami tonino. He said, I'll bring you a raya to this halacha from a Mishnah. Rav Shimon said, as it relates to Shehiyah, which is one of the five halachas that govern Hilcha Shechita, so how long does a Shia have to be in order for it to be an issue? Kedei Bikur, the amount of time that it takes the Shechit to do an inspection. So Rav Yosef said, my love, when Rav Shimon talked about the inspection of a shaychik, didn't he probably mean k'dei bikur simonim? Meaning, what inspection does a shaychik do? Rav Yosef says, I don't know, I can't think of what it might be. He says, oh, probably what it is. It's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's halacha. And that is, hatabach tzorich sheyivdak b'simonim la'acha shchita. And the amount of time that it takes to do that is what the shir is. But the bottom line is, Zok Rav Yosef, afana nami tanina, I have a raya from a Mishnah. Who said it? Pshimin. He said in the Mishnah that there's such an idea, that clearly there is some bedika that needs to take place, noch the shchita. But the Gemara says, after Rav Yosef said this, who fired back at Rav Yosef? Only Abaya. Abaya said, lie. That's not what it means. Hochim Rav Yoichan. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what Rav Yoichanan said. What Rav Shimon meant when he said Kedei Bikur, he meant Kedei Bikur Chacham. He meant the amount of time that it takes for a person to do Bikur by the Chachams. What does this mean? So this is going to come up in tomorrow's daf. But Rashi says, it's what we referenced earlier, and that is that before the Shoichet Shech, he has to do a Bedika on the Sakin. The reason it's called Kedei Bikur Chacham, Zok Rashi, is because there's a din that the Shoichet is not supposed to be Bedika by himself, but he's supposed to bring it to the Chacham Ha'ir, Mishum Kvaidai, and he's the one that's supposed to do it. So what did Reb Shimon mean when he said that the Shi'ir is Kedei Bikur, the amount of time that it would take for the Shoichi to go to the Chacham and for the Chacham to go ahead and now check the Sakin, inspect it to make sure that everything is okay. But the Gemara says, if that's what Rav Shimon meant, it's going to come out that this is not a one-size-fits-all type of shir. And we know Chazal, when they give shiurim, they like it to fit and shtim. Arbam says, kacha for a mikvah, and three tfachim is the shir of a beggar, that's metama, right? We always want it to be precise. We don't want to say that for Reuven it's one shir, for Shimon it's a second shir, and for Levi it's a third shir. Which undermines the sanctity of the way shiurim operate. Now, if you're going to tell me that the shir bikur is the amount of time it would take to go to the chacham, well, what if the chacham lives next door? Or what if the chacham lives far away? And what if there's traffic? What if there's not traffic? Right, there's so many considerations that would have to be taken into effect. So it's not mestaber, that's what it is. It's more mestaber that we're dealing with a bikur that involves the shaykhid himself, and he could do it achshav alatar, and like this, whatever that shir is, that's what it's going to be. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yochanan must have meant when he said kedei bikur chacham, el kedei bikur. What he meant to say was that in the event that Tabach himself is a Chacham, then he himself could do the inspection, and if he himself does the inspection, he doesn't have to go anywhere. So there's no nosatat for echlishum. So Rashi, is that truth? If the Tabach is a Chacham, then the Tabach is allowed to do the inspection. We always assume the Tabach is a Chacham. We just said a second ago, the Tabach has to be a Talmud Chacham. Right? He has to know different things. So there's no question in the world that we would always assume that the Tabach is a Chacham, and afilu hachi, there's a din that you always have to go to the Chacham Ha'ir. So Rashi says true, but at the same time, in the event that the Shoichet is a Talmud Chacham, ve'in muflo be'ir mimenu, But he's not just a Talmud Chacham. As the rest of Talmud Chacham, in that situation, he's actually allowed to do it by himself. But the bottom line is, Sak Rashi, this is a Kolema Rashi, Ayin Shav. Rashi says the point of what the Gemara is trying to make is we don't have to learn the sugya now when you have to go to a Chacham or when the Tabach's allowed to do it by himself. It's not the amount of time that it takes to get on the train and wait for your station, get out, ring the doorbell, wait for the butler to let... That's not what it means. What it means is the amount of time that it would take for the Chacham to actually be baidik it, to look at the sack and see if it's okay or not. Okay, so it's true. Reb Shimon said, what's the shir shia? It's kedei bikur. It has to be a bikur that's universal. Reb Yosef said, isn't this probably a raya to Reb Yehuda Amar Shmuel? And that is, you have to do a post shchita bikur? So tomorrow, no. I'm like, Abaya, it's the pre-shchita bikur. Everybody agrees it's a pre-shchita bikur. What are you being mevaker? You're not being mevaker the shchita, you didn't do the shchita yet. What you're being mevaker is the second. Rav Yosef thought it's the bedika on the actual animal. You're being mevaker the simonim to make sure it was done properly. Abaya was doichem, and Abaya told him it's the bikur on the second, it's on the messer, it's before the shchita, there's no raya to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the... Later, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, "Hatabach tzarich sheyivdek b'simanim la'achashchita." Very important halacha. Abba says the Gemara, "Loi batak mai." What would be b'diavet if the sheichet he didn't do it, and now the animal's gone? We have flesh, we have pastrami, we have corned beef, we have prime rib, short ribs, we have everything. Elamaisa, this sheichet never did that bikur. So what happens to the animal? Now the assumption would be b'fum riata that for sure. If there's a din that you have to do a petika, then l'chari, you're not going to be able to eat the meat. And as we'll see, the Gemara is going to entertain two possibilities. Both of the possibilities are going to acknowledge that. Meaning, if you need to do a bedika to make sure the shechita was okay, and you can't just rely on the fact that you know hilcha shechita, and you can't just rely on the fact that you always get it right, you just have to make sure that everything went well, right? You have to make sure that the operation went as hoped and as planned. So you can't just assume, I'm a muchzik, I'm a mumcha. No. If Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying, "Atabach tzarich sheyivdek b'simanim la'achashchita," it means that if you don't do that, you can't eat it. So there's no shaila in the world you can't eat it. Okay, so what is the shaila? So let's speak it out, Baal Peh. The shaila is, in this situation right now, do we treat the animal as if it's an avela? Or do we just say, you can't eat it, but we're not going to treat it as if it's an avela? My nafkamina. An avela is not only also b'achila. An avela is also tame, right? An avela always wears two hats in Masechta Schulen. On the one hand, it's machalos asuros. On the other hand, it's like a maize, it's like a sheretz, it's an avatoma. It's also a source of tuma. So do we say that in the event that the bedika wasn't done? So right now, as far as I know, this is an avela. If it's an avela, so you can't eat it, that's pashit. In addition to that, it's also going to be metama like an avela. Or do you say, no, there's a din that you're not going to be allowed to eat it. We'll treat it, we'll see in the words of the Gemara, like a trefa, right? Using that word loosely. A trefa is an animal that had a shechita, but it had one of the simonim to make it into a trefa. There, you're not allowed to eat it, but at the same time, a trefa is not metam, right? A trefa is not an avela. It had a shechita. But at the same time, the shechita wasn't able to be metahirit to the level that you're allowed to eat it. But it made it ois nevela. L'may nafkimina, you're not in the sugya of nevela, you're in the sugya of trefa. Either way, it's a lav. Well, first of all, it's a different lav. But in addition to that, a trefa is not going to be tummy. So that really, as we're about to see, are going to be the Gemara's two tzadim. So again, what happens in the event that the tabach didn't follow what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said is so critical? He didn't do this post shchita bedika. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Antignus mishum Rabbi Loza b'Rabbi Yana yomar trefa. We view this as a trefa. V'asur b'achila, it's going to be also. It's poshut, it's not really a trefa, but we treat it like a trefa. I don't know, but I wonder if this maybe is a little bit of a makar. There are probably others that we refer to any food that's not kosher as being treif, right? You see that over here it's not a treifa, but what did the Tana say? He said treif, right? That was what he said. That today became a word that's synonymous with non-kosher. When you learn chulin and you think that a treifa is the non-kosher piece of meat, that's toye bedvar mishnah. You get too frask back in the day. That's not what it is. But at the same time, beloshem bnei adam, to say food is treif would be the equivalent. It could be basav chalav, it could be nevela, it could be arla, I don't know, it could be anything. The bottom line is, you're not letting it, it's always treif. But here again, we're using the word treifa loosely. Bottom line is, it's a treifa All it is asa b'achila. The masnisa tana and a brisa we learned nevela. No, we view it as a nevela. Umetamba b'masa, and it has not just tuma tumas masa, which is the tuma that a nevela has. Okay, what exactly is the machloikis? Right, what's going on over here? So the Gemara said to Rav Huna, they were arguing in something. Rav Huna said, "Amr Rav Huna." Rav Huna said, "Behema b'chayeh b'cheskas isra medes." A behema while it's alive is b'cheskas iser. Rashi says, "Why is it b'cheskas iser? Because it's evim and achai." So based on the fact that an animal while it's alive is not allowed to be eaten, is Evi Menachai. So from a Chazaka perspective, it's Becheska Sisser. And it's going to remain that way unless you know that it had a good Shechita. Nishchita. If you hear that it had a good Shechita, then it's Becheska Sisser. Unless you hear afterwards that something was wrong. What could have been wrong? He found out that it was a Trefa. More about Rav Huna in a minute. But the bottom line is, as it relates to this Shaila, Zoktikor, Mar Sovar Becheska Sisser Kaimo. Vehashto mesohi umar savar becheskas iser amrinan becheskas tumalay amrinan b'masniso tana, the second shita that said that in this situation we view it as an avela umetame b'masa. What's the aside? The aside is because we have a suffix now whether the shita was a good shita, being that it was becheskas iser. So if it was becheskas iser, so therefore it remains becheskas iser. And if it remains Becheska Sisser, as far as we know, there's no kosher shechita, so it has to be treated like an avela. And an avela is also b'achila, and an avela is also metame b'masa, so it's going to be also b'achila, it's going to be metame b'masa. Umar Sava, the other man, the Amar holds, Becheskas Isser Amrinan. I agree with you, it's Becheskas Isser. But Becheskas Tumaloy Amrinan, it's not Becheskas Tumal. What's the beer in it? Zok Rashi, when an animal's alive, so it's Becheskas Isser. Is it Becheskas Toma? Of course not. Why is it not Becheskas Toma? Because a Balchai can't become Tome, other than a human being. But a Behema Balchai is not subject to Toma. So being that the only reason we're Chayish over here for anything, even though there was a Shechita, and maybe the Shechita was a Kashrut Shechita, is because of the Chazaka. The Chazaka only affects the Isser. The Chazaka doesn't affect the Toma. So Mar Sovar, I'm not sure there was a good shechita. So if I'm not sure there was a good shechita, so it's becheskas that there wasn't necessarily a good shechita. Therefore, I have to treat it the way I would treat an animal that didn't necessarily have a good shechita. What is that? It's a suffik nevela. A nevela is also b'achilas matame b'masa. It's only suffik, obviously. So that's the way I'm going to have to treat it. Umar Savar, the only reason I'm going l'chumra is because of the chazaka, and the chazaka is a cheskas isra achila. So vas is negay the isra achila and uchinami. I'm going to treat it like isra, but vas is negay the isra tuma. For that, I'm ready. I'm not going to treat it as tuma. Now this gemara kamuvin is a pretty lumdish gemara, right? So I am brishonim and shef shmeitzes. There's a lot of raid over here as it relates to trying to understand a little bit better what the husband of the machloikis is. But one ma'ar makom that I think is kedai to mention very quickly, and that is Rashi said, that what's the cheskas iser? Sherei asura mishom evim menachai. The cheskas iser is evim menachai. Toisvis, and this toisvis is not over here, but this toisvis is mesechtes beyadav chofei. So this gemara appears tucked away. Beyadav chofei. And over there, toisvis asks on Rashi that it can't be that the chazak over here is evim menachai. Why? Because that's pashit. Once you shech the animal, the animal's not even menachai. So whether the animal was a kosher shechita, the shechita was a kosher shechita, or the shechita wasn't a kosher shechita, one thing is zicher. This animal's not even menachai. So how could the cheskas iser of even menachai tell me now that it's going to be awesome? Right, what's the concept of a chazaka? The concept of the chazaka is, I have a suffix, vos is right now. Okay, so if I know yesterday it was like this, we assume nothing changed. Oiki davar achazake. Right, that's the concept of how a chazaka works. So you'll tell me, I have a suffix whether I'm allowed to eat this animal or not eat the animal. Well, yesterday I wasn't allowed to eat it, so my stomach today I can bite and I eat it. Zok Rashi, why yesterday wasn't I allowed to eat it because Evi Menachai? One second, it's for sure not Evi Menachai. Once you can do the worst, it could be a Shechitas Kuti, who is after Chulin Davav, Lamanda Amar, that Kutim were Geri Arayas, he could be a Mummer Oichel Nevelis Lehachis. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, even in a chai, it's for sure not going right. And any muchzik, any mumche, whatever other mile you want to give him. So this person, for sure, his shechita will be good at the very least to make it always even in a chai. You put a bullet between the eyes of the animal. It's not even in a chai anymore. Right at that point, that Isser for sure went by the wayside. So how could we reckon with a cheskas Isser of Evim and Achai right now, if right now for sure it's not Evim and Achai? And Tosfos says, because of this kasha, I think the chazok of this gemara is not Evim and Achai. So what's the chazaka? So this is mechadish, a new iser. So we'll see in a minute. We're a little familiar with this iser already. And that is the iser of inoy zavuach. Tosfos says that every animal, while it's alive, you're not allowed to eat it for two reasons. Number one, I'm not allowed to eat it because it's evim menachai. Number two, I'm not allowed to eat it because the Torah says v'zavachto mipkarcho mitzoyncho. And then and only then am I allowed to go ahead and eat it. Says Tosfos, the iser of the Gemara that we're applying now the chazaka to for a case where we have a suffix whether the shechita happened is not the iser of menachai, because that's for sure gone. It's the iser of eino zavuach, and that iser from a chazaka standpoint still has the ability to be machpia, because to the extent that you didn't do a good shechita, it's vital going to be eino zavuach. Now, what comes to mind when you hear this iser eino zavuach? Derive it in his asogis on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. In Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav, when the Rambam Lashitase to Perak Alv Alach Alv Nilcha Shechita was Maina Shechita as one of the Tayrag Mitzvahs, so the Ravid said, B'lashayne Azov, Zu Ein Loi Tam. It doesn't make any sense. Why would it be a Mitzvah Sasei? V'ulai Lav Abo Michlal Aseihu. It could be when the Torah said V'zavachto, what the Torah is telling you is there's an iser Asei, in addition to the Lav of Nevela, you should not eat meat in the event it's Ein Azavuch. But you know what the nafkamina is between the iser of Ina Zavuch and the iser Nevela, besides for the fact one's alive and one's an assay? What happens if it's alive? If the animal's alive, it's not Nevela. Nevela, by definition, is an animal that's dead, but at the same time, it didn't have a proper shechita. Oh, but the iser Ina Zavuch, that's negeya if it's dead and it didn't have a proper shechita. It's also negeya if it's alive. So, Tosfos, that you want to know what the chazak over here is, it's not the chazak of Evi Menachai, because now it's for sure not Evi Menachai. What is it? It's the Ina Zavuch. Again, this is an Indian that Ezra Hashem will have to come back to. So we just mentioned Rav Huna's halacha, and we're going to mention it now again. Rav Huna, behemah b'chayeh b'cheskas isra'i medas, behemah, while it's alive, is b'cheskas isra. Rashi says, even menachai, Tosfos says, in a zavuach, actually, v'adol chabad man nishchita, unless you know for sure that it had a good shchita, nishchita, once you do a shchita b'cheskas hetra'i medas, now it's b'cheskas heter, right, you assume it's good, actually, v'adol chabad man nishchita, unless you find out that there was some sort of treif, otherwise, you assume it's okay. Break the Gemara, I don't understand what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, behemah b'chayeh b'cheskas isra'i medas, ad she'yivadol chabad, Pamen nishchita. Nishchita b'cheskas heteroi medes ad she'yivad alecha b'amen nitshefa. As it relates to the second thing that Rav Huna said. Nishchita b'cheskas heteroi medes ad she'yivad alecha b'amen nitshefa. Nishchita b'cheskas heteroi medes? Right, when you do the shchita, it's b'cheskas heter. Nishchita hutra. Right, at this point, it's mutter. When you do the shchita, it's not b'cheskas heter, it's hutra, you're allowed to eat it. Sounds like there's a suffix. It's becheskas heter, so I can go ahead and eat it. No, if you did a shechita, it's going to be okay, right? Sounds like it was just a good shechita. Okay, if you find out later, you'll deal with it then. But right now, nishchita, it's not becheskas heter. This second, achshav, when you went ahead and you did the shechita, it's hutra. Zok, digimara, hakamash malan. I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Now, if this yalud ba reyesa, the chiddush is that even if a reyesa all of a sudden came about, meaning there was suddenly a suffix trafus situation over here, it's then you would have to come on to the chazak, right? Well, you would have assumed yourself, Rav Huna was trying to say, meaning, if at the time of the shechita and moving forward, nothing is yalud, and of course it's hutra. When we say becheskas, it means in the event that now there's a suffix, so achi yivad alecha, unless you know, but teres vada, that there was an issue, so then already it's becheskas heter because of the fact that we know it had a good shechita, says the Gemara. What's an example of a situation where there was a shechita? So it's becheskas heter, despite the fact that now it was this alid bar reyesa. So what would be the example essentially of the reyesa? So the Gemara says, "Kidibay minay Rab Abba Rav Huna." Rab Abba asked Rav Huna. And by the way, the names matter. We're coming to explain what Rav Huna meant, and we're going to shtaltsu something that Rav Huna himself said. Kidibay minay again, Rab Abba Rav Huna. Bozev the not abnei meayim mahu. What would be if a shoychet shechta and he put the bnei meayim on the side? All of a sudden, a wolf comes and he takes the bnei meayim. Right? He runs off with it. Says the Gemara, what would be the halacha? So what's even the shaila? I guess the shaila would be, do you have to assume that maybe there was an issue with the bnei me'ayim, and as a result, maybe it would render the entire animal into a treifa. But the Gemara says, not al, in the event that the zev took it, halesnu, it's not here now, and to the extent that it's not here now, why in the world would you assume that there was an issue with it, right? Rashi says, "V'lechazinan b'hu shum reyesa." We don't see any reyesa. U'maisveikeika. What kind of suffix should there be? And in order to appreciate this a little bit better, we know that even though treifus is a big deal, but most animals are not treifus. So when there's a reyesa to be chayish, then maybe there's a treifa. Right? There's certain parts of the animal you have to do bedika because, right, the sirchis, that's where the lungs are, that's where the whole glot and glot bisoysif comes from. But the bottom line is there are certain reyes, there are certain things where you need, but stam to assume that the b'nei me'ayin had a treifa, for that there's always a rive, and based on the fact that there's a rive, you never assume that that would ever be the issue. So in the event that the ze'ev came and he walked off with the b'nei me'ayin, no one's going to ever have a havamina that should be an issue. Elo, naka b'nei me'ayin ma'u. The question must have been something else. What would be in the event that a ze'ev would come and he would chap the b'nei me'ayin? And by the way, just try to visualize this for a second. How does the wolf chap the b'nei me'ayin? Probably does it with his teeth, right? How else is he going to do it? He does it with his fangs. So he's going to go, he's going to chap the b'nei me'ayin with his teeth. And now there's a hole in it. So you want to know, is this going to be a problem? Is it not going to be a problem? So the Gemara says, what kind of problem is that? Nekev hachazina du nakvinu. Right? You saw that he is the one that did it, and it happened post-shechita, right? He shechted, b'nei me'ayin was sitting on the side. So, you know, you could do whatever you want to the meat after you shechted. What would be the issue? The issue would be, maybe it had a nekev already prior to the shechita. Well, in this situation, that's not something you have to worry about. Elo, the shaila must be something else. What would be if the ze'ev came, he took the b'nei me'ayin, natlan, v'hechzir k'shein akufim, and then he brought it back. What's the point? The point is that we didn't, number one, it's here now, right? It's here now, and it's here with a nekev, as a result of Zerayah. So additionally, he didn't go ahead and put his teeth in it in front of us, but rather he took it away, and then he ended up bringing it back. What's the tooth start? And me, chayshinon, are we concerned, shemba b'makam nekev nakav, that maybe, although it seems that he for sure put his teeth in it, but we didn't see it happen. So we didn't really get a good look at the b'nei me'ayin. And if that's the case, maybe where he put his teeth into the b'nei me'ayin, there already was a hole. And if that's the case, maybe you have to be chayish for treifa. Or maybe that's not something you have to worry about. This was the shaila that Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna. In the event that the ze'ev came, he took the b'nei me'ayin and he brought it back, and now all of a sudden there's a hole. It seems for sure like the Zave put the hole in, but being that we didn't see him do it, maybe there was a hole there already before. And this is the question. Now, if you look at the Rishonim don't even understand Pashup Shana's Gemara. It's not an easy Gemara to give over. And it's really for the reason that the Rishonim struggle so much with the Gemara. We said right in the beginning of this Ibaya that in the event that the Zave would take the B'nai Ma'ayin away, gone, never heard from again, there'd be no problems over here. The reason be no problems over here, because why would you assume that there's a nekev, right? You never assume. Most animals are not treifus, and as a result, this is not something you would ever have to be worried about. Rashi says, there's no reis over here, you don't see a nekev, so what would be the issue? Now that the ze'ev took it, you saw him take it, he brought it back, there's teeth marks inside of it. So you know for sure, even though you didn't see him do it, you know for sure he made the hole. Narvas, Shemeb, Makam, Nekev, Nakev. If it wasn't here at all, you wouldn't be worried that there's a Nekev. So now that he made a Nekev, what would be the Havam in the Shemeb, Makam, Nekev, Nakev? This is a Shverish Shiloh that really you need to understand in order to understand Pashup Shana and the Gemara. But if you take a look at the Rishonim, this is a big Arichas. But either way, what we need is as follows. We need Rafuna's Tshuva, and that was Ein Choshesh and Shemeb, Makam, Nekev, Nakev. He said, I'm not worried about it. You know why I'm not worried about it? Because it had a good Shechita. And once it has a good shechit, if afterwards it's neilad, a suffix treifus, even when there's some sort of reyesa, like in this case, you have a nekev in front of you, so there is some sort of reyesa. Afilu hachi, this is not something that you have to worry about. Freit the Gemara Akasha. The kasha is on what Rav Huna last said, and that is in choishish and shema b'makim nekev nakev. Is that true? Esvei rot tzipar ma'menakev b'teino. If somebody saw a tzipar, he saw a bird that was pecking. He was making holes in a te'eno. The achbar, or he saw a mouse, hamenakub avatichim, that was making holes inside a melon. Choshishin were concerned, shema b'makam nekev nakev. We're concerned that maybe this place, that this tzipar, or this achbar is pecking, maybe he had a hole in it already prior, and as a result, you're not going to be able to eat this food. Now, what's the background to this? It's a sugi mesachet zavei dezar. So we're all familiar with the idea of mayim and mashkin megulin. This was something that was prevalent once upon a time where there were nechoshim and akrabim. And the most simple application of this halach is that if somebody would leave a liquid uncovered overnight, You're not allowed to drink from it because we're concerned that maybe a nachash or an akrav came, deposited a little bit of venom inside of it, and as a result, now it's something that's very dangerous, and based on that, you would not be able to drink this mashkin. What's a little lesser known in this sugya is that the same halacha is true in the event that a nachash goes and it pecks a hole into a fruit. And the reason is because there too, we're concerned for the same exact shash. What happened in this Braisa is, somebody saw a tzipar being menakeh b'teino. He saw an achbar being menakeh b'avatichem. So essentially what he has over here is, he has a fruit that has a hole inside of it. And based on the fact that there's a hole inside of it, so he's a little bit nervous that maybe a nachash got a hold of it, and as well, it's going to be a problem. But then again, he saw the tzipar do it. He saw the achbar do it. So does he have to be concerned that maybe there was already a hole, and what the tzipar and the achbar are doing is they're making a hole b'makom nekev? Well, what shaychus? You don't always have to assume that there was a hole here. Right now, he sees the tzipar and the achbar making a hole, so presumably there was no hole prior. So it's a mafurish of Reis, no. Choshen shem b'makom nekev nokev. And this is a kashen Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, ain't choshen shem b'makom nekev nokev. He is seen mafurish that way on Malay. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna answered this kasha. He said, mi kam adamas yisru l'sakanto. Yishtelling to a sugya in isav heter, to a sugya of sakono. Sakono shayni. Sakono is different, right? It's different. How do you know it's, why is it different? It's because of the fact that sakana deals with a question of a person's life, as opposed to iser is a question of iser the heter, there's an inyan of a chai behem, and ad kidei kach, that when it comes to these questions of sveikis, so we're more machmer when it comes to a situation of sakana than we are when it comes to a situation of issa v'heter. And it's for that reason that when it comes to the question of treifis, loy chai shinon shem b'makom nekev nakav. When it comes, however, to the question of megulim, so v'vir chamira sakanta me isura, and it's for that reason that the halacha is that over there, we're going to be chayish, shembe b'mokim nekev nakav. Says the Gemara, Amal e Rava. So Rava said, Maishna sofik sakanta l'chumra, sofik yisura, nami l'chumra. Mechateisi, chamir sakanta me yisura. I don't know. Look at how you treat a sofik. You treat a sofik isa l'chumra, you treat a sofik sakana l'chumra. As far as I'm concerned, they're both one and the same. Where do you find anywhere that there's a difference? Amal e Abayis, Abayit ol Rava, v'loish ani ben yisura l'sakanta. He says, come on, you know that sakana is more chamer than yisura. V'ilu sofik tom b'shosar abim svei kutar. If there's a sofik tum of b'shus harabim, the halach is sveiko yistar. Vilu sofik mayim megulim, but when it comes to sofik mayim megulim, over there asurim, the halach is that it's going to be awesome. So we know there's a halach l'moshim yisinai. Sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveikoy tar. Sofik tumah b'shus hayachid sveikoy tame. Sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveikoy tar. What's the makar to this? So it's halacha l'moshe Sinai, but it actually has a makar. It's learned out from the parsha of soita. Every sofik soita is a sofik tame, even though a soita engaged in arayis didn't engage in tumah, but Chazal say tumah k'siv baka arayis, and as a result, it's viewed as a sofik tumah. We know that the sofik soita you always have to treat as someone that might be vaday tame. Every sofik soita, her tumah took place in a Rishus HaYachid, there was a stira by definition, there was a kinuy and stira. So from there we learn that every time there's a situation of Safik Tuma Rishus HaYachid Sveikoy Tame, but if the Safik Tuma is not Tame the Saita, it's the Safik Tuma Rishus HaRabim, where there wasn't just a stira, there were more people there. Over there it's going to be Sveikoy Tar. Another halacha that we learn, as we'll see in a minute, being that the makar to Safik Tuma is learned out from the Saita, a Saita is a Dovet Sheyesh by Das Lisha, right? A Saita can answer questions. A Saita could sit in at a deposition, could say, this happened, that happened. And as a result, when it comes to a situation, Daimit, the Safik Saita, that's where these rules apply. If, however, the Safik is Negeya, a Safik Tuma, but not a situation where you're dealing with something that is a Dovah Sheyesh by Das Lisha, B'chai Gavno, this halacha is not going to apply. But the bottom line is, Safik Tuma, B'shos HaRabim, Esveikoy Tuma. tahar. Yet sofik mayim megulin is sveika yigal lochumra. So what do you see from here? Sofik tom b'shus harabim. That's a din d'iraisa. But it's iser. Sofik sakanta. That's only sakana. But sakana actually is more chama than iser. So Abaye told Rava, you don't understand Rav Huna's teretz. You don't understand why you're not chayish emakim nekim nafik when it comes to iser v'hetro. You are chayish when it comes to sakana. It's so poshet, right? It's so avad. Shani leben isur le sakanta. It's because of what Rav Huna said. Chamira sakanta me isura. And what are you telling me? Sofik iser, sofik sakana. You forgot about sofik tumo. Sofik tumo toichia. At the end of the day, sofik tumah b'shus harabim is smekoy tahar. Yet, when it comes to a sofik mayim megulim, I feel b'shus harabim it's gonna be aser. Amalei, so Rava told him, nah, you can't ask me from there. Hasam hilchas gemiri la. Right over there, it's the hilchas gemiri la misoita, and it's learned out from the parsha of soita. Ma soita b'shus hayachid, av tumah b'shus hayachid. It's a special din. There is a kos of hilchasa. You can't shtol this to Masiv Rav Simi. So Rav Simi now, when he entered this conversation, and he asked the kasha actually in the reverse. Sheretz b'fi chulda. In the event it was a chulda, a weasel that was walking around with a sheretz inside his mouth. This is one of the Shmoyne Shratzim that I'm a Tama. The Chulda Malach is a Gabi Kikari Shal Truma. And the Chulda, as it had the sheretz inside its mouth, was walking on top of loaves of Truma. Sofik Naga, Sofik Loi Naga. Now we know the Chulda touched, but there's a Sofik whether the sheretz that was Befi HaChulda touched the Kikari Shal Truma. Sveikoi Tahar, the Halach is that the Sofik is going to be Tahar. Over here, the halacha is tar, even if it's in a rishus hayachid. And the reason is, like we mentioned earlier, because the only time you say the rules of safik tumah is if it's a davar she yesh baydas lishal, being that you can't have an intelligent conversation with the chulda, or the sheretz, or the kikaris for that matter. So it's a davar she'im bam das lishal, and it's for that reason, over here the halacha is sveikai tar. But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is we have a safik naga, safik loy naga, sveikai tar, v'ilu safik mayim magulin asurin. But when it comes to safik mayim magulin, you see, it's aser. So again, what do you see from here? You see this idea of chamira sakante meisur, but the Gemara says hasam nami hilchasak miri la misaita. This is all halach lemesh misine. Ma saita davash yesh beidas lishol af hachanami davash yesh beidas lishol. There's no right from over here because I can always tell you that again the sugyas of safik toma is 100% based on halach lemesh misine, based on learning it from the parish of saita. So you can't bring any rayas from there to other areas. And that's why Rava action tzachais. Rava said, why would you say chamira sakante meisura? I know sakana is very chomer, but chamira sakante meisura? I don't know. Safik is you go lo chomer, safik sakana you go lo chomer. And don't bring me rayas out to shiveni from safik tomo, because that's a whole different Indian. But the bottom line is, Rav Huna held chamira sakante meisura. Abaye defended the position of chamira sakante meisura. Rava didn't understand the position of Chamira Sakante Meisura. We're going to stop here, which is Mitzugya and Be'ezer Hashem. In the next stop, we're going to pick up very much this inyan of Chamira Sakante Isura with raid as well. But as it relates to today's raid, I think it's Kedai to speak about something that we've touched on in the past. As a matter of fact, we discussed it in Chulin Daf Tes, last Machzer. But just to be marchiv on it a little bit, in Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush, it's a ha'ara nifla that's really related to yesterday's daf, as we're going to see. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva, and this is in Yeridaya, Simin Tzadik Dalet. He says the following, Uvda Yodano beFrankfurt am Main. I'm familiar with a story that took place in the city of Frankfurt am Main. The story was, Parach Tarnagoylis L'toich Kalachas chemeroisachas aloesh. A tarnagoilus jumped, a live tarnagoilus, into a vat of butter that was sitting on top of the fire. Umesa betoichai. And the tarnagoilus died inside the chema. Vahoyra goyin echad umuhula ma'oid. And there was a goyin there. This goyin is muhula ma'oid. He paskin sha'osar ha'chema afilu the goyin. That this chema is osa to eat loy mi baya for the yidin, but even for the goyin. V'shafchu bechutzais, and they took all the chema and they poured it out into the streets. Ulu b'soif hiskiru. Right after this goyim said this psak, so the chevra that were there reminded him the baser oif bechalov muter bahana. That why did you paskin that we have to take this chema and pour it out in the street because it's also not only for the yid and even for the goyim. tense. You don't even have the option of selling it to the guy. All this is basar oipa chalav, and basar oipa chalav is motabana. So we know basar v'chalav is asibana. It says three times in the Torah, loisav ashal gadiba chalevimoy, and chazal darshin. It's going to feature prominently in the latter part of Masechta Schulin. Once to tell me there's an Isra Achila, twice to tell me there's an Isra Hana, and a third time to tell me that there's an Isra Bishal. Stating that the only time there's an Isra Hana, Basav Achalav, is if it's Basav Achalav Deiraisa. Basav Achalav Derabbanan is Mutter Bahana. Basar Oif Bechalav, we know, is only Aser Midirabbanan. Hence, it should be Mutter Bahana. The Tarnagailis was an oif. So the Chevra that were there turned to this guy in Echonim Ahula Ma'oid, and they told him, don't you know it's Basar Oif Bechalav? And Basar Oif Bechalav was Mutter Bahana. Ubetoich Kedei Dibur. So Toich Kedei Dibur, when this guy in Echad was asked this question, Hisheva Goyin, the Enochinami, Bahana Muteres. It's true it's Mutter Bahana. And when I said pour it out in the Chutzos of Frankfurt the Main, I didn't mean because it's Isure Hana. I know Enochinami that it's Mutter Bahana. Because from the Basar V'Chalav perspective, it's Basar Oif B'Chalav, which is only Asa Mid Rabbana, which is Mutter Bahana. My psak was based on the fact that Ulamaychra Lagoy Asura. I didn't say that it's Asa Bahana. I said pour it out from the standpoint that what else are you going to do with it? I mean, the option would have been to sell to a guy, but that's not something that's an option. And the reason is, Mishum Blias Eve Menachai. Because being that the Tarnagoylis fell into this Kalachas Chemeroy Sachas Aloesh while it was alive, before it died, it was Maflit Blias of Eve Menachai into the Chema. And being that this Blias of Eve Menachai, that in and of itself is a problem, because Eve Menachai is also the Benoyach. Said the Heilig Chsam Soifer, it seemed pretty obvious to the eye of the people that were there, that when this guy in Echad Mehulam Ma'oid said this psak, he really wasn't coming from Eve Menachai. He was coming more from the Basar V'Chalav. Ukishkaga yatsa milifnei shalet. Ach, lo yu'una letzadik kol oven. See, chulin dav hei, davav, and dav zayin. Aba lo yu'una letzadik kol oven. And his melei Hashem yisparach teretz, the Eibishter immediately threw a teretz into the mouth of this Goyen Echad, Leshazve Mikisufa, to spear him from the Bezionis. Says the Heilig Chasam Sofer, that from this Maisa that I'm aware of, that took place in Frankfurt am Main, Mikomokim Nilmad, I learned one halacha, and that is the Gam Bechai Shayach Pleita. I learned the Chiddush from here, that even something that's alive has the ability to be Maflet. Because if the Pshad and why this Goyen Paskin, that when the Tarnagoylus fell into the Kalachas of Chema, Shavchu Bechutzois, was not because of Basar V'Chalav, because that's really Mutter Bahana, but it's because what are you going to do with it? To give it to the guy is not an option. You'll be over the Fnei Evilah, you see the Michshel, because he has Sheva Mitzbnei Noach, and Eva Menachai is Osir. Well, Eva Menachai would mean now it's dead. Oh, because this bliss of it, of Eve Menachai. Because it was maflit before it died. That means that Baal Chai could be maflit. And this was something that was very important in that tshuva that the Chasam Sofer wrote. And really, this tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, like all tshuvas Chasam Sofer, became a tshuva shehutzricha l'dayres. And b'meshech, the tshuvas that followed subsequent to the printing of Tshuvas Chasam Sofer Yeredeya, which happened, by the way, within the year after the Petir of the Heilig Chasam Sofer. Anytime a Rav was asked a Shaila, that was Negeya, such a question. Could a Baal Chai be Maflit, or could a Baal Chai not be Maflit? The Teretz was Kikaran and Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. And it's in Yeredeya, it's Tshuvat Tzadik Dalet, and it's based on this very interesting story that happened with a Goyen Echad u'mehul ma'oid. But the Chasam Sofer gave us this Psak, and that is that just like something that is inanimate has the ability to be maflit, the chiddush of blias and pleitas that undermines so much of Masechtas Chulin, of Baal Chai also has the ability to go ahead and to be maflit. Just to bring out one example of a tshuva where an Adam Gadol was asked the Shaila and he made a beeline to this tshuva's Chasam Sofer. In Shaila's tshuva's pre Yitzchak, that's from Rab Itzel Petterberger, and this is in Chelik Beis, it's in Simen Chav Dalet. He discusses a Shaila that was asked to him. He said somebody came to him and told him that there was person working in the kitchen, and this person had a kalachas reisachas in basa she'amad al ha'esh. So there was a pot of meat that was on top of the stovetop, and then all of a sudden a fish had sich genemen a spring, a live fish, and it fell into the pot of basa. And immediately the chef saw what went on and quickly removed the fish. And when he took the fish out, the fish was actually still alive. And the question that Rabbi Itzler was brought to me, and that was, am I allowed to eat from this pot? Am I allowed to eat from this pot? Now, at first glance, what's the shaila? It was a kosher fish, and it was kosher meat. Well, it's based on an idea that Chazal say there's a sakana to eat fish and meat together. By the way, if there's a sakana to eat fish and meat together, chamira sakanta meyisura, like we just learned in the Gemara, that means it's even more chamer than regular isav heter. And it actually is manifest in a shaila like this. Because we know anytime there's a question of a taruv, it's a isav heter, so you go basa shishim, there's a whole sugya, basa b'chalav taruv, is how you go about it. In Shulchan Aruch, it's in kuf tezayin, it's gepaskin, that the only time you go basa bittul is when you're dealing with a question of isav heter. But being the chamira sakante meisura, when it comes to sakana, you don't go basa bittul. So over here, the fact that the fish fell into the basa is actually more chamer than a tipas chalav. Because over here, you can't even start mesting, and you can't even start bringing out your rulers and your measuring sticks and to try to figure out whether there's shishim or not shishim. Because it doesn't matter if there's shishim or not. Based on the fact that chamira sakante Me'isura. Okay, so what was the shaila? The shaila was, at the end of the day, this fish was there when it was alive. And being that this fish was there when it was alive, maybe there's no plaitis. Because could a balchai be maflit, or could a balchai not be maflit? So Rabbi Itzler Petterberger in this tshuva over here says that I already discussed this shaila mamish, whether a balchai could be maflit or not, in Chelek Aleph of Pri Yitzchak. And if you mish up to Chelek Aleph Pri Yitzchak, and this is Simin Chof Aleph, this is how the simon starts. Simon chaf aleph. Bedin dover chai imaflet nu mavliya. Hinei. B'shailos hachuvas chasam soifer. Chidushi erdeya simon tzadik dala kosev azal lashoyne. Uvda yadana befrankfurt the mine. V'chulu v'chulu. Again, he brought this tshuva from the Hilik Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer told us based on a Maisa Shoya Kachoya that yes, a Balchai has the ability to be maflit. In the Chassam Sofer's case, it was negated of the Tarnagoylus that fell into the vat of Chema. In this case, it's negated the fish that jumped into the Chulin. But the bottom line is the same thing. At the end of the day, a Balchai has the ability to be maflit. Over there, it was negaya Blias of Evim and Achai. It's Aser, Lemoichre, Lagoy. Over here, it's negaya. There's no Bittel. You're going to have to get rid of the Chulin and rinse and repeat, start all over again. But the bottom line is, again, an example of where a Rav was asked the Shaila, but it's after Tshuvas Chassam Sofer Kfar Hoyre Zokin. At this point, it's Pasha. This is what the Psach Halach is going to be. Lamaisa, in that Tshuva, Rabbi Itzler is Meirich, and he says that I think I have an oftener Raya to the Psach of the Chassam Sofer. I'm a Raya almost She'enol of Tshuva to the Psach of the Chassam Sofer. And that is, we learned the Gemara at the very, very end of yesterday's daf. The Gemara said, sakin treifa, in the event that a shoichet shechted with a sakin, and it turned out that the animal ended up being a treifa. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. It was a machloikis Rav Acha, who is Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava, v'Ravina. Chad Amar once said b'chamin, that you have to go now, and it's not enough to just wash the sakin like you always do in between shechites and do a bedika, but now you're actually going to have to do a hagala, because you shechted a treifa. V'chad Amar, and the other one said b'tzoyne. No. Cold water is going to be fine. The hilchas of the halacha is afilu b'tzoyning, that even if it's used tzoyning, that's going to be okay. Freik the gemara kasha. Uleman da amar b'chamin. The man da amar who said chamin, my timer, what's the reason? Must be mishum de kabbalah isura. It must be, because you're concerned that the beis hashchita has a chayim, and as a result, when the sakin went through the beis hashchita, it was boileya from the treifa. So if it has blias a treifa, now you're going to have to go ahead, and you're going to have to do a proper hagala. But says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, the hetera nami, every single time a shoichet shechts, you should end up with the same issue. Why? Because why? You're not concerned that bola eva menachai, that the animal was alive when you did the shechita, and eva menachai is also. So why are you not worried about blias of eva menachai? And for the Gemara, blias of eva menachai doesn't bother me. You know why? Because eim is bola. Because when would the sakin Be boileya from the Eva Menachai, only the chichaim. Only when there's chaim. You need chaim, otherwise there's no blias and platis. You need the chaim of the Beis HaShechita. Emos kochaim. When does the chaim of the Beis HaShechita come about? Lechigam reshechita. At the end of the shechita. And ahishaita terahava. At that point, it's already heter. So the Gemara says, you're right. Theoretically, this halacha of sack and treifa should be true for every single time a shoychet checks, not based on plius of treifa, because that you don't have every time, but based on plius of Eva Menachai. But at the end of the day, the math doesn't work out, because the Eva Menachai is only the betchila shechita. You don't have the chaim during the betchila shechita. When do you have the chaim? You have it by the gemara shechita. Zok tab itzala, chob da mefurish gemara. I have a mefurish gemara where the gemara is mefur that it's shaykh plate this from Eva Menachai. Because if you're going to tell me that a chai is not maflitz of us fake the gemara, why are you not worried about the plateness of Eva Menachai? The plateness of the treif I'm worried about, because treif is a treif even when it's dead. But Eva Menachai is only in the game when it's alive. When it's alive, there's no problem because it's a chai. A chai is not maflin. After you do the shechit, it's not even a chai anymore. Elamites mefurish in the Gemara. That be'etzim a chai could be maflin. Nor vast, it was a technical problem. You didn't have the chaim of the Beis HaShechit. Just to bring out the raya, bissel besser. Yesterday's daf began. Omer Abzeira, Omer Shmuel. Li bein sakin v'shachat ba shechitasa ksheira chiduda koidim lilibuna. Va'ikot stodim Beis HaShechita mirvach ravach. Interestingly enough, if you look up in Shulchan Aruch, this halacha of Reb Zeira, it's actually only brought down as a Yeshayim. It's in Yerudea, it's in Hilchas Shechita, it's Simen Tes, and over there the Shulchan Aruch brings two deis, whether we paskin like Reb Zeira Amar Shmuel, or whether we don't paskin like Reb Zeira Amar Shmuel. On the Yesh Machshirin, which is the Shita of Reb Zeira Amar Shmuel, Reb Kiv Eger, in his Agois on Shulchan Aruch, says something hafaldik. Zok Reb Kiva Eger, Lanias Daiti, I hold that if someone has a situation, ready for this? Where he took a sakin and he was leaping bar and he did the shechita, and you're going to be soymich on Reb Zeira Amar Shmuel of chidud the koydim lulibuna, but at the same time tzrichan likleif beis hashechita. You're going to have to be koyleif. You're going to have to take off a kedei klipa. You know why? The koydim gemara shechita, because before you finish doing the shechita, bala hasakin me'eva menachai. The sakin was by layer from the eva menachai ubi gemara shechita, and by the end of the shechita, bala yasimon me'eva menachai. Zok Reb Kiva Eger, it's mavur in the gemara on daf ches amud beis that really every single time a shechit does a shechita, there's always a little bit of a problem of Eva Menachai. And why are you worried that the sakin might have an aplius Eva Menachai? What was the Gemara's teretz? The Gemara's teretz was, in order to have blias in the sakin, you need the chaim of the Beis HaShechita. And you don't have the chaim until the Gemara. At that point, there's no Eva Menachai. But in Reb Zeira's files, Zok Reb Kiva Eger, where it was libein sakin, where now the sakin itself is out, so I have the chaim machmas the sakin. I don't need it from the Beis HaShechita. So now it's harder din of us, the Gemara at Gizok, that you have to reckon with the blias of Eva Menachai. So if you have to reckon with the blias of Eva Menachai, so Zok Reb Kiva Eger, the minute you start doing the shechita, the sakin is boilei Eva Menachai, and when you go with the shechita, it's a maflit Eva Menachai, so you have to take off a kedei klip, otherwise not going to be able to eat it. Hafla of a fellow, this Reb Kiva Eger's ago, and that Aloch and Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shechita, in Simen Tes, Sivkot and Aleph. But again, it's Mavur, Zok Reb Itzala, from the Gemara, Reb Kiva Eger's Diak, in his Aloch and Maisa, as it relates to Reb Zeira, and that is that a Bachai can be maflit. So the Reb Itzala said that this psak of the Chassam Sofer, even though the Chassam Sofer just brought it as a Maisa Shehoya, and he was Mechiachit from the Maisa, but at the end of the day, Li Nira, it's actually Muchach from the Gemara Alein, it's a Mefurish Gemara, Chulin Daf Ches on the days. You see from here that Eivim and Achai, it's Shaykh, Plius, and Platis, and if that's the case, it's Muchach, this Chiddish, and that is that a Balchai is able to be Maflit. It's interesting that if you take a look at that Shuva, Shail's Shuva is pre Yitzchak, Chelik Beis, Simin Chav Dalet, his Psak Halacha, where the fish jumped into the Chulin, that case, he addressed the Shaila to the great Goyen, Rabbi Yosef Shal Halevi Natanzin, of Bezin, the Kilo Kedosha, Levav, the Hagalil. It's interesting that this same exact tshuva appears in the tshuvas from Rabbi Yosef Shal Natanzin. It's in Shailu Meshev, Madura Tlisa, it's Chelik Aleph, it's Simen Nun Aleph. Lamaisa, the Shailu Meshev, did not agree with the Pri Yitzchak's Psak. And Ayin Shom, they have a whole pilpul. There's another way to maybe learn the Gemara over here on Daf Ches Amud Beis. Chaim Seifa also didn't bring the Raya. But the bottom line is, this was a vikuach between Reb Itzel Petterberger and the Shoyim Lameshev, which really traces itself to a tshuva from the Chaim Seifa with a Goyen Echad Umahula Ma'od, which we have a Hagah for Rav Kiva Eger, which would seem to go along the lines of Rav Kiva Eger's great Eidim, the Chassam Sofer, and the guy in Echad Mulamite, and like Rav Itzla Petterberger, and not like the Shaila Meshev. Just one more ha'ara as it relates to this, and that is, I saw in the Stipler, in Kilas Yaakov, right here, Mesechtes Chulin, and this is in Simen Hey. See, he brings this Arichos. Simen Hey, the Inyan Idavra Chai Mafluru Mavliya. The Tshuva is Chassam Soifa Chela Gerideya Simen Tzadik Dal. That's how it starts. Exactly the way the Tshuva from Mitzvah starts. Again, once Chassam Soifa paskins and writes a Tshuva on an Inyan, if you don't start it this way, it's Sofik Amaratzis. But the bottom line is, the Stipler Teich Dvaru, if he asks a fascinating question, he says, if we go like the Psak of the Chassam Soifa, based on the Goyin Echa and Amhulu Ma'oit, and Rabbi Itzala felt that it's muchach that way from the Gemara Chulin Daf Ches, Rabbi Kivegin is a goyis, and Hilchas Shechita Simen Tes certainly learned the Gemara that way. He says, if that's the case, I have a problem. Anytime a person touches food that's Yad Soy Led Espoy, that's really, really hot, or if somebody puts food in his mouth that's piping hot, why is it not usher to go ahead and eat that food? Why don't we say that being that a person's own flesh is asa b'achila, right? So if a person's own flesh is asa b'achila, he was just mafled through the chayim of Yad Soila at this point. At the very least, you should have to take off a kedei klipa. This should for sure be a problem. And the Stipler says it's a plia atzuma adlam oid, and no one was ever moir the shayla. So he's like the Stipler. So he says, at first glance, my muschurishin was, the Rambam, in Yad Chazaka says that if somebody eats basar adam, if somebody eats human flesh, cannibals, right? So if somebody, hopefully this is not halacha l'maisa, but if somebody eats human flesh, so the Rambam says he's over in Isser Aseh. That's what the Rambam says, no lav in the Torah. Rambam says he's over in Isser Aseh in Kanamakam Laharach. He says that the Nedib Yehuda, in Chuvis Madur Tinyanoi, Rechaim Simen Samichvav, says a chiddish, that being that the whole Mekar, Tam Ke'ikr is learned out from Mishra Sanovim, and that's a loisa say. So the only time you say Tam Kickers by Lavi, you don't say by Asin. So he says, if that's the case, the Rambam holds that human flesh is only an Isra Asay. Oh, if all it is an Isra Asay, for an Isra Asay, no. This is, there's no halach of Tam Kikr, you don't have to worry about please and play this. A Bezok the Stipler, even though I hear maybe that's a little bit of a mahalak to Miyashiv, the Minig Yisrael, that no one was ever worried about something like this. He said, the problem is there's a Shita Sara'ah and there's a Shita Saritva, Sinta Andri Shainim that are chaylik on the Rambam. And they hold that it's a lav if somebody goes ahead and eats human flesh. And if that's the case, Hajra Kushya Leduchte, why are you not worried that if you put food in your mouth that's so hot that you don't even know what to do, you should have to take it and spit it out? Not because it's too hot, because it's treif. Chamira sakanta meisura. So first, because it's too hot, maybe, but you should have to get rid of it, and you should have to take off a kedei klipa if you plan on putting it back in your mouth, which might also be a sugi of chamira sakanta meisura. But the bottom line is, depending on how squeamish you are, why is this something zok the Stipler that nobody was Evan Meir. So the Stipler says a beautiful chiddush. The Stipler says that it could be that even though there's an inyan, you see from the Gedolei HaPoskim, that a bachai could be maflit, but maybe the only time a bachai could be maflit is if the aver, the specific aver that's being maflit, is an aver mace. So there's a concept of having an aver mace within a person or an animal that's chai. So in the event that there's an aver that's mace, being that mesim are maflit, flesh could be maflit, so even if it's a chelik of a dover chai, maybe b'chai gamna, this is something that would be able to happen. Zok the Stipler, if that's the case, that would be the beer in the Gemara and chulin daf ches. Rab Itzla Petterberger's grace raya to the psak of the Chassam Sofer. And that is, when the shoichet goes ahead and the shoichet starts to shecht, when he shechts that first simen, the tchilas ha-shchita, so let's say he shechts the kona first. The kona at that point, that kona is mace. Now, the animal is still alive. Being that the kona is mace, but the animal is alive, it's still Eiver Menachai. Being that the Eiver, however, is mace, it still has the ability to go ahead and be maflet. If, however, you would have a person or an animal that's chai, it could be b'chai gab, no, be an issue. Now, what was the maisa with the Tarnagoilis? The Tarnagoilis, it could be when the Tarnagoilis landed inside, so one of the Evarim died before the entire Tarnagoilis died. meaning that the Tarnagoilus Be'etzim still had a pulse. So it's for that reason it was still Eivim and Achai. But being that there were Eivarim of the Tarnagoilus that were dead, it's for that reason it had the ability to be Maflit. But as it relates to a person who puts food and it burns his tongue, well, over there, the tongue is still alive. It didn't die. And being that the Eivarim are still Chai, Al Zen Nemer, Bal Chai doesn't have the ability to be Maflit. He says, Lulei the Mestach, Vesin, Shef Shadaf Mezogan, Azaz Svar. But the bottom line is, this is what the stipler said. This is this noisei. It starts with a Truvas Chasam Sofer, literally, in Yerudei Simit Tzadik Dalet, with a big raya, lechur at first glance, from a Gemara Mesech Teschul and Daf Ches Amid Beis. But Kiyodua, there's a well-known postscript to this Truvas Chasam Sofer. When the Chasam Sofer brings this story, he says, Uvde Yodana beFrankfurt der Main, Porach Tarnagoylus Letoich Kalachas Chema, Chasam Sofer talks a lot about this Goyen. He says afterwards that it was Kishkoga Yotze Milifnei Shalit Achlo Yuna Letzadik Kol Oven and his Milay Hashem Yisbarach Teretz L'Shazbe Mikisufa. Chasam Sofer is telling a story, Uvda Yadana, but he doesn't want to tell you who the story happened with. Who was this Goyen that's Mehulam Ma'oid, which is really where this entire story begins. So the giloy of who this Bala Maisa was revealed to us in a tshuva. And it's in the Shailos of Tshuva's Yad HaLazar, which was written by the great Goyen, Rabbi Lazar Halevi Ish Horowitz. He was the Av Beis Din of Wien, of Vienna, for 40 or so years. He was a Talmud Muvik of the Chasam Sofer. And someone asked him a Shailo on this tshuva. He says, your Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer, wrote a tshuva about this Uvde Yodana with the Tarnagoilus, that a Baal Chai has an ability to be Maflid, and that Goyen Echad Mehul Shema, even though it looked like he was paskining, that the reason you have to get rid of the Chema is because of the Bas of a Chalav, but he quickly went ahead and he said, no, that's not what I meant. I meant not that it's Asabah. No, I meant that you're not allowed to sell it to a guy. And the reason you're not allowed to sell it to a guy is because of the fact that this bliz of Eivim and Achai, and the Chasam Sofer was Mechiach from there, that it must be that a Baal Chai doesn't have the ability to be mafleh. So it has an ability to be mafleh. So this Shoyl asked the Yad HaLazar, he asked Rabbi Lazar Levi Yesh Horowitz, he says, I don't understand. It's a plea to me, the Psak. I still don't understand the Psak. It's still a mils to the Tehma. You know why? He said, because what's the Makar to Tam Ke'ikar? It's learned out from a parish in the Torah. Mishras HaNavim LaYoychal. That wasn't said to Bnei Noach. That was only said to Yisraelim. So you're worried about a Tam Ke'ikar? You're worried about a Bli of Eivim and Achai? Al Rishonim Onim It's time that we have a Sugya of Eivim and Achai. Or a Sugya of Tam Ke'ikar. And it's a Sugya Aruch and Shas. Vukum Tam Ke'ikar. It's our guys. No, yes, Shaykh is the Tam Ke'ikar. What is if Shaykh is the Tam Ke'ikar? So the Shoyal asked the Yad HaLazar, I was reading this story that your Greiser Rebbe brought. I mamish don't understand what's going on over here. So the Yad HaLazar writes back to him. He says, I'm going to answer this Shaila 1 second, but before I do that, I want to tell you who exactly this Goyen was. Let me read it inside. I have to notify you. He said it was none other than my Elter Zeda. Rabbi Lazar Halevi Ish Horowitz was a great grandson of Rabbi Pinchas Halevi Ish Horowitz, also known as the Hafla. So number one, let's put a name to the face. This was my Elter Zeda the Hafla. V'hoisa hashayla harishoyna shahu v'lefanav b'voy l'kila k'doysha Frankfurt the Main. And he says, if you want to know the rest of the story, this was the first question that was ever asked to the Hafla when he became the Rav of Frankfurt the Main. And then after he tells us this little revelation, he says, I don't even understand your kasha. You're telling me there should be no Tam Ke'ikar by a guy. I hold fakir. I hold, we know shiurim were only Nemel Yisrael, they were not Nemel Ibnei Nech. Ram brings this in Ilchas Malachim. So over here, why should Tam Ke'ikar even be a sugya? The only reason Tam Ke'ikar is a sugi is dafka by a yid, when there's something called shnurim. But when it comes to a guy, I mean, there's a sugi shnurim. But the bottom line is, Ashenagei Yoyosel in your name right now, the punchline of this raid bite. And that is, who was this guy in Echad? This guy in Echad was the Hafla. This was the first Shaila that was ever brought to the Hafla. Can you imagine? The Hafla comes, he's the Rav of Frankfurt. The first Shaila, they bring him a Tarnagoy. It's a classic Shaila. You ask a rabbi, Tarnagoy jumped into the Chema and he accidentally paskin kishkoga sheyotze milifnei hashalit, that it was basa v'chalav, asa b'ana, and then L'sheizve mekisuf, for the Eibishter was mazmin into his mind all of a sudden this idea. No, it's now it's the blias of Eivim and Achai, and the Chassam Sofer came out with a psak, a tshuva shutzrucha l'dayris, that you see from here that Rabbi Achai has the ability to be maflit, which comes with all this in Sunni, right? But this was the first tshuva. And I was thinking about it. It's mamish a dover pella, right? This is mamish the prob. It's the first shayla that's ever asked at Hafla. Had a little bit of a hergish. How did the Hafla become Rav of Frankfurt? We spoke about this once. The Hafla became Rav of Frankfurt shortly after the whole controversy of the Kliva Get. As a matter of fact, legend has it that after the whole Kliva Get controversy, where Kemat Kol Gedoli Yisrael went keneged the Bezdin of Frankfurt, the Frankfurt Askonim decided that any Sirt Rav that came out in any way, shape, or form against us is not going to even get a Prabha. He's not going to be a viable candidate to be able to become the Rav. And that, by the way, knocked out almost every single qualified guy in. Because everybody, Bereshim Denai de Yehuda, not that Denai de Yehuda was looking for a job, I think he was happy in Prague, but the bottom line is, all the Gedolei Yisrael came out, Keneged, the Bezdin of Frankfurt, and as a result, there were very few candidates. Story has it that the Hafla had also sat down, and he wrote a very, very sharp diatribe, Keneged, the Frankfurt the Bezdin. But as he finished writing his tshuva, all of a sudden he knocked over the inkwell by mistake. It covered the tshuva, and he didn't have it. So he sat down to write it again. And then he thought to himself, you know something? It's so strange. This has never happened to me. I'm about to write something very, very sharp, and all of a sudden I have to sit and I have to write it again. Maybe from Shemayim they're telling me that this is not the right thing to do. He never wrote the letter again. He never sent it out. And the Frankfurt Askanim were not aware of what the real position of the Hafla was. And when it came time to them to find a candidate, and they had to look around, who's going to be the next Rav of Frankfurt? The Hafla, who of course was a worthy candidate, and he didn't have that much competition, it sounds like, he was brought in to become the Rav of Frankfurt. So the Hafla comes, and he's going to be the Rav of Frankfurt. And again, you have to appreciate the fact that the Frankfurt Beis Din had gone through such an epic controversy. I mean, again, we did this, but we did it B'loshan Akiyah. I mean, you look at the tshuvas that were written and some of the things that some of the Gedolei Yisrael said, and this was a bezin that was once held in such esteem, and all of a sudden it went, Me'igra Rama Labira Amikta Mamish. And now all of a sudden, Vayaka Melech Chadash, there's going to be a new regime. And what's the Hafenisht? That we're going to have a Siyata Deshmaya, that we're going to be able to trust this bezin. Who knows if the first Shiloh that's brought to this great Rav was a Shiloh where the Rav made a mistake. But you know what happened? You can focus on that part. But I'm focusing on the other part. Lo yu'una l'tzadik kol oven. And the Eibishter went and the Eibishter saved the day. And the Eibishter said, there's going to be no toss, there's going to be no mistake coming out of this Beis Din. This Beis Din is going to have a Shmir al Yoyna. This Beis Din is going to have a Siyata Deshmaya. Because hashta behemten shal tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita kol al yadon. Sounds familiar? Tzadikim atzman lo kolshkein. And the Eibishter dafka was mazmit. Because it really has no havan in the world. But the Eibishter made it that it should happen in a way. Not to say, oh, the Rav Kenish Leinen, he's the, you have open a Hafla, right? I mean, the Hafla is Rabban Shal Kol B'nei Hagad. Right, we always speak about how Rabbi Yaakov Galandau, the Neid Behuda's son, in his Akdama to Chuvas Neid Behuda Madura Tinyana, so he mentions the Hafla for a second, right? He mentions the Hafla. He says that his father, Neid Behuda, always wanted to write Slach on Ksubas. And he said that even though the Pnei Yeshua wrote on Ksubas, and he said the Hafla wrote on Ksubas, but he nichu makam lehiskader. Sounds familiar? It was also a Gemara in today's daf, this week's daf. But the bottom line is, he said, I'm going to right anyways. And then he says, you know, I just mentioned the Hafla. I have to say that the COVID and the way my father, the Nebid, used to talk about the Hafla, and the Hafla was Rabban Shalach Chassam Sofer. And we mentioned yesterday how the Chassam Sofer said that the Hafla said something during Purim Torah. But at the same time, Laman lo yiga l'rik, that he uttered words, and that effort that comes out, it must have some value. This is who the Hafla, and the Hafla makes azat tois. The Teretz is from Shemayim, they were coming to teach something. Not that the Hafla machta tois. The lesson was, and this Beis Din is going to be with a Shmir al Yoyna. We have nothing to worry about. And Bezrat Hashem, this new regime, everything is going to be okay. Let bygones be bygones. But we have now Rabban Shal Kol B'nei Hagadol. You know, just to finish. So this is the first Shiloh that was asked to the Hafla. This is the Haschala of when the Hafla became Rav. The year the Hafla became the Rav of Frankfurt was Tov Kuf Lamed Beis, Shnas Tekabel. There's a beautiful introduction to the Panim Yafis that was written by Rabbi Ephraim Zamir Margolis. He was the one that published the Panim Yafis. He had the Ksav Yad. He's the one that published it, and he has a whole beautiful psicha where he talks about the greatness of the Afla. He says, "Ubishnas tekabel kiblu alayu besimcha v'shmirim," that it was in the year Tov Kuf Lamed Beis that he became the Rav. The Hafla was Nifter. He was Nifter in the year Tov Kuf Samche, which means that how many years was he Rav in Frankfurt the Main? He was Rav in Frankfurt the Main for 33 years. The Chassam Sofer, Kiyodua, was Rav in Presburg for how long? He was Rav in Presburg for 33 years. And if you take a look at the Petuche Choysim with the Hagoyes from the Baal Oitzvus Chassam Sofer, Hagoy Ramosha Shlomiak, and this is where he has one of his Hashlomas Umiluin. He talks about the Nusach HaMatzeva of the Chassam Sofer. And this is on page Ayin Hey, in the first Madura, Archabura's Madura, of the Petuchei Chosim. He says, V'yeshla oir bedover nifla. After he brings that the Chassam Sofer was raw for 33 years, and the Hafla was raw for 33 years, the Gam Morin HaKsav Sofer, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, Shimesh Ka'ov Bezin, the Kilo Kedosha Presburg, Meshach Shal Shlamet Gimel Shonim. The Hafla was Rav in Frankfurt for 33 years. The Chassam Sofer was Rav in Presburg for 33 years. And the Ksav Sofer was Rav in Presburg for 33 years. I think it's a very befitting way to end the week of Lag BaOmer, to end a week where 33 Ahu Sabas and the number Lamed Gimel Kemavu B'Sfarim HaKadoshim reign so prominently and supremely. And on this note, I get in there of Shabbos Kodesh.